The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 17, Text 15, given by His Divine Grace, Dhanavir Das Vanachari, on January 12, 1990, in Dallas, Texas.
Shukadev Goswami said, in the tract of land known as Ilavrata Varsha, the only male person is Lord Shiva, the most powerful demigod. Goddess Durga, the wife of Lord Shiva, does not like any man to enter that land. If any foolish man dares to do so, she immediately turns him into a woman. I shall explain this later. In the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Agyanata Vrandasya Giranjana Sarakaya Chakshura Virutam Yajas Vaishiva Yamaha. I'll just briefly mention about this particular pastime. Lord Shiva and his wife were enjoying their type of husband and wife conjugal relationship, and at that time male person came there to that place, and so the wife of Lord Shiva was very embarrassed, and Lord Shiva promised her, he made a vow that anyone in the future, any male who would ever come there would be turned into a female, and that only females would be there, so she would never have that kind of embarrassment again. Even nowadays, they have learned the art of turning males into females, or females into males, you know. By their scientific method, we can make some arrangement with the the organs and hormones and what have you. But Lord Shiva did not need to use some kind of gross mechanism. He had the mystic power to turn a male into a female. I'll read the next text. Bhavani natai stri ganar bhuya sahasrayar avarujyamano bhagavatas chatur murte mahapurushasya turiyam tamasim murtim prakritim atmana sankarshya sandhyam atma samadhi rupena sanityabhyaita abhikrinam Hello, Upadhavati. Upadhavati translation. In Ilabrita Varsha, Lord Shiva is always encircled by 10 billion maidservants of Goddess Durga. They minister to him. The quadruple expansion of the Supreme Lord is composed of Vasudev, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, and Sankarshan. Sankarshan, the fourth expansion, is certainly transcendental, but because his activities of destruction in the material world are on the board of ignorance, he is known as Tamasi, the Lord's form in the Lord of Ignorance. Lord Shiva knows that Sankarshan is the original cause of his own existence, and thus he always meditates upon him in trance by chanting the following mantra. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sometimes we see a picture of Lord Shiva engaged in meditation. This verse explains that Lord Shiva is always meditating upon Lord Sankarshan in trance. Lord Shiva is in charge of the destruction of the material world. Lord Brahma creates the material world. Lord Vishnu maintains it. And Lord Shiva destroys it. Because destruction is in the mode of ignorance, Lord Shiva and his worshipable deity Sankarshan are technically called Tamasi. Lord Shiva is the incarnation of Tamoguna. Since both Lord Shiva and Sankarshan are always enlightened and situated in the transcendental position, they have nothing to do with the modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. But because their activities involve them with the mode of ignorance, they are sometimes called Tamasi. Text 17. Sri Bhagavan Vacha Om Namo Bhagavate Mahapurushaya Sarvaguna Sankhyan Sankhyanya Inanta Ya Vyaktaya Nama Iti. Translation. The most powerful Lord Shiva says, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you in your expansion as Lord Sankarshan. You are the reservoir of all transcendental qualities. Although you are unlimited, you remain unmanifest to the non-devotees. Krishna also describes himself in the Bhagavad Gita, Naham prakasya sarvasya yogamaya samavitaha mudhoyam nabijanati lokomaram ajamavayam. I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them I am covered by my eternal creative potency, yogamaya. And thus the deluded world knows me not, for I am unborn and infallible. Otherwise, even when Krishna was personally present on this planet 5,000 years ago, not everyone could recognize that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only a few people, the Pandavas and Bhishma Dev and some others. But most of the people could not appreciate that here is God Himself. Because if one is interested in trying to enjoy the material world, then he will not be able to see God. He will not be able to appreciate the Lord. Because the Lord is Satchidananda. He's complete transcendence. His form is made of bliss and knowledge. Those who are covered over by ignorance and passion, they will not be able to perceive that this is God. One has to have a transcendental vision. Premanjana Chirito Bhakti Valochanena Santak Sadaiva Hidayesha Valokayanti. Otherwise, Krishna does not reveal Himself. He remains whatever they want. If they want to think of him as a stone, then he'll allow them to have that mentality. It's like in the Archa Vigraha feature of the Lord. He comes ostensibly in the form of stone or wood. But the devotees, they recognize, oh, here's my Lord. Here's the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is his transcendental form, and he's so mercifully come in this form, so I can see him. But the materialists think, I'm just a stone. They can't understand that this is non-different. It's personality of Godhead. Because the ability to see and the ability to appreciate is coming from Krishna. I'll read the next text. Text 18. O Lord, you are the only worshipable person, for you are the supreme personality of Godhead, the reservoir of all opulences. Your secure lotus feet are the only source of protection for all your devotees, whom you satisfy by manifesting yourself in various forms. O my Lord, you deliver your devotees from the clutches of material existence. Non-devotees, however, remain entangled in material existence by your will. Kindly accept me as your eternal servant. One of the six principles of surrender in devotional service is to consider that the Lord is one's only protector. He doesn't consider that anyone else will be able to protect him. A nice example of this was Ravan himself. He was a great worshipper of Lord Shiva. And finally, after he committed the great offense of kidnapping Universal Mother, Sita, and he had to fight with Lord Ram, he was asking for help from Lord Shiva. And Parvati, the wife of Lord Shiva, was asking, why don't you go and take care of your devotee? He's worshipped you so well. Now he's in trouble. Why are you just sitting there? And Lord Shiva replied, what can I do? He's now fighting against my Lord. He's fighting against Lord Ram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's nothing I can do to defend him. He's doomed. Another case was the benediction offered to Hiranyakashipu by Lord Brahma. Brahma gave him quite a powerful benediction. He would not be killed in the day or the night by a human being or a beast, demigod, etc. But still the Lord manifested himself in a form suitable to kill Hiranyakashipu and at the same time uphold the benediction of Brahma. And when Brahma was asked if he could give immortality, he said, no, I cannot give you immortality. I cannot protect you from death because I myself am subjected to death. So the only one who can give liberation is Mukunda or Krishna. No one else has that power. And no one else can protect one. Mare Krishna Rake Ke, Rake Krishna Mare Ke. Even in the case of when Devaki's sons died, Lord Krishna was able to go and bring them back. When the son of Sandipani Muni drowned, Lord Krishna and Balaram were able to retrieve him from death. That means they're even more powerful than death. Who else has such power that he can go and bring back a soul that's already died? I don't think our modern scientists have such power. When someone dies, they cannot add some chemical, inject. They do not have that power. But Supreme Personality of Godhead has that power. Therefore, he is the supreme protector. And if he wants to protect someone, then no one can kill him. Look at the example of Parikshit Maharaj. When he was in the womb of his mother, Uttara, the son of Dronacharya, Ashwatthama, fired a very deadly weapon, the Brahmastra weapon, and it was so well designed that it could be guided even within the womb of Uttara to kill the embryo. It was a guided missile, guided nuclear weapon. It was very precise. And so that weapon was burning the womb, burning the embryo. But Krishna appeared there and gave protection to Parikshit Maharaj because Parikshit was such a great devotee of the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj was such a great devotee of the Lord And even though his father tortured him in so many ways, he was given protection. There are many examples of the Lord's giving protection to his devotees. Konteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashati. Krishna told Arjuna, you may declare boldly that my devotee shall never be vanquished. And the reason he asked Arjuna to declare it was that sometimes Krishna has to break his own promise. As in the case, he promised that he wouldn't fight in the battle of Kurukshetra. He promised he wouldn't pick up arms. But he had to break his promise because on one particular day, Bhishma Dev was fighting so furiously that he was just about to kill Arjuna. He had made a promise. It is a long story, but briefly, Bhishma Dev made a promise that originally he was going to kill all five of the Pandavas on that particular day, and he set aside five arrows. But by Krishna's arrangement, those five arrows were taken away from him. And so Bhishma Dev said, well, now he's made me break my promise, this Krishna. So I will make him break his promise today. Either I will kill Arjuna or Krishna will have to take up weapons to defend him. So it turned out that just a moment before Arjuna was about to be killed at the hands of Bhishma Dev, the greatest warrior, Lord Krishna jumped down and picked up the broken wheel of the chariot and attacked Bhishma Dev and thus protected Arjuna. But Krishna sometimes has to break his promise to protect his devotees. But if his devotee makes a promise, then Krishna makes sure that that promise is never broken. So what better personality to surrender to and take shelter of than Krishna? Anyone else we take shelter of will not be able to protect us from death. Our husband cannot protect us from death. Has any wife ever been protected from death by her husband? Or any husband been protected by his family members? Or the country, can they protect us from death or disease? No. No one can protect us, but Krishna can protect us. So we should take shelter of Krishna. Continuing, next text, number 19. Nayasya maya guna chitta vittidir nirikshito hyam vapi trishtir ajyate ishe yatano jitamanyu ramhasam kastam namanyeta jigishur atmanaha. We cannot control the force of our anger. Therefore, when we look at material things, we cannot avoid feeling attraction or repulsion for them. But the Supreme Lord is never affected in this way. Although he glances over the material world for the purpose of creating, maintaining, and destroying it, he is not affected, even to the slightest degree. Therefore, one who desires to conquer the force of the senses, must take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Then he will be victorious. What is another name for the Lord, which means he's the master of the senses? Rishikesh. Yes. Harishi means senses, and Ish means the controller. He not only controls his own senses, but he controls everyone's senses. He is the master of the senses. Our senses are only extensions of him. They are, in a sense, part of him, as we are part and parcel of him. And he has invested us with our own minute independence, and we can work these senses as we like within certain boundaries. But ultimately, he's still the controller. And if he desires, he can take away our power of sense perception. He can take away our vision. He can take away our ability to move, our ability to think. Therefore, they're not under our control. They're under a higher control. Unfortunately, persons who don't have spiritual vision They think that everything is a product of material energy. But although they think that way, they cannot reproduce even one of the senses. They cannot make a material body. They cannot they can make a facsimile of the senses, but they cannot make something that's sentient, that can appreciate and evaluate the data that comes in. In other words, they cannot make anything alive. They can make speakers that can speak like a mouth, and they can make hearts that pump like a heart pump, but they cannot make it alive. That's because the spirit soul is coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Read the purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is always equipped with inconceivable potencies. Although creation takes place by His glancing over the material energy, He is not affected by the modes of material nature. Because of His eternally transcendental position, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in this material world, the modes of material nature cannot affect Him. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is called Transcendence. And anyone who wants to be secure from the influence of the modes of material nature must take shelter of Him. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Daivihi esha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etam duratyate. This material energy, material nature, is very difficult to overcome. But one who has surrendered unto me can very easily cross beyond it. Well, that is the most important instruction. That if anyone is serious or interested in getting out of this material world, getting free from ignorance and passion and goodness, then he has to take shelter of Krishna. Otherwise, it's not possible. He'll have to remain in the material world. Unfortunately, we are very content to remain here in the material world. We like this ignorance. Ignorance means sleep. Ignorance means illusion. Ignorance means becoming angry, dreaming, not clean. Passion means lust, trying to greed, envy. This is passion. And goodness means to become content with being a learned person, be content with being a charitable, kind person. That is also not transcendental. If one thinks, I'm a very learned person, I'm appreciating nature very nicely, that is also not sufficient to liberate him. He'll have to remain in the material world, and he'll have to take another birth. Because Krishna is Vishuddhasattva. Not just Sattva, but Vishuddhasattva. One has to develop pure goodness, transcendental consciousness, in order to associate with the Lord. Otherwise, one can live somewhere in the material world where there are other pious living beings. But he will not be able to live with Krishna. So, simply doing pious activities is not sufficient for getting free from the material world. Feeding the homeless, providing them homes, digging wells, planting trees, these are not transcendental activities. If it is not in the service of the Lord, it is still mundane. Opening hospitals, educational institutions. Unless there's Krishna there, then how will they get liberated? Therefore, the devotees of the Lord, they engage directly in the service of Rishikesh. They directly engage in the service of Vishnu, and they teach others how to directly engage in the service of Vishnu. There are so many other institutions which are presenting the other pious activities. But this International Society for Krishna Consciousness is unique in presenting pure devotional service. Prema Kumar Tumahan, teaching people how to love God And that love of God is invoked by serving the Lord and following the instructions given in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, and directed by the bona fide spiritual master. That is the unique contribution. Teaching people how to engage their whole life, every day, 24 hours a day, in service to the Lord. Otherwise, people can't imagine how it's possible. I can see how they say, I can see maybe once a week going and praying, serving God all the time. Doesn't it get a little bit boring? No. Because they don't know God. They've forgotten their relationship with the Lord. They don't know that He has senses. And His senses are transcendental. And they can be pleased by one who offers Him service with love. Patram pushpam palam toyam yomi bhaktya priyachati taraham bhakti parishnam ashnami prayatatmanam. Krishna says, if one offers me with love and devotion, a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. He's not hungry. It's not that he doesn't have sufficient food. He has unlimited servants, millions of maidservants who are serving him. Even Lord Shiva, it's described in the previous verses, that he has 10 billion maidservants who are servants of Goddess Durga. So what to speak of Krishna? He's also got his gopis and the goddesses of fortune, and the assistants of the goddesses of fortune. He's not lacking nice preparations. But still he becomes eager to accept if it's offered with love and devotion. That's the only thing that attracts him. Continuing, text 20. For the persons with impure vision, the Supreme Lord's eyes appear like those of someone who indiscriminately drinks intoxicating beverages. Thus bewildered, such unintelligent persons become angry at the Supreme Lord, and due to their angry mood, the Lord Himself appears angry and very fearful. However, this is an illusion. When the wives of the serpent demon were agitated by the touch of the Lord's lotus feet, due to shyness they could proceed no further in their worship of Him. Yet the Lord remained unagitated by their touch, for He is equipoised in all circumstances. Therefore, who will not worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Purport. Anyone who remains unagitated, even in the presence of cause for agitation, is called dhira, or equipoised. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, being always in a transcendental position, is never agitated by anything. Therefore, someone who wants to become dhira must take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita 2.13, Krishna says, dhiras tatra namuhyati. A person who is equipoised in all circumstances is never bewildered. Prahlad Maharaj is a perfect example of a dhira. When the fierce form of Nrisingadeva appeared in order to kill him, Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad was unagitated. He remained calm and quiet, where others, including even Lord Brahma, were frightened by the features of the Lord. Text 21. Lord Shiva continued, all the great sages accept the Lord as the source of creation, maintenance, and destruction, although He actually has nothing to do with these activities. Therefore, the Lord is called unlimited. Although the Lord in His incarnation as Shesha holds all the universes on His hoods, each universe feels no heavier than a mustard seed to Him. Therefore, what person desiring perfection will not worship the Lord? Purport. The incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Shesha or Ananta, has unlimited strength, fame, wealth, knowledge, beauty, and renunciation. As described in this verse, Ananta's strength is so great that the innumerable universes rest on His hoods. Remember the description that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave to Vasudev Dutt? Vasudev was very aggrieved at seeing all the living entities who were committing sinful activities, the conditioned souls in the material world. He knew that they were going to have to continue taking birth after birth. So he asked the Lord, please let them be liberated and give all their sins to me, and I will suffer the reactions. This was his request. In other words, he was prepared to suffer practically for an eternity, because all the living entities have so many sins, he would have to stay and suffer unlimitedly. But still, he was willing to do that because he wanted them to be free, to go back to Godhead. That was his mercy. Also, Lord Jesus Christ had similar type of compassion for the fallen souls. He also was prepared to suffer on their behalf. All their sinful activities, he was willing to take. Although he is sinless, he was prepared. And Vasudeva Dutt also was willing to take the sins of everyone in the universe, even those who were not his disciples or followers. That's how merciful he was. But Lord Chaitanya told him, my dear Vasudeva, it's not necessary for you to do that, because just by your desire, the Lord will fulfill. A pure devotee's desire is binding upon the Lord. The Lord feels that he must fulfill that desire. Just as the devotees feel that they must fulfill the desire of the Lord. Vice versa, there's a reciprocation. He said, by your desire, all the living entities will be delivered. They'll all go back to Godhead. And don't feel that there's any loss for the Lord, because if one of his universes closes up because all the residents went back to Godhead, the Lord doesn't consider it a loss. Any more than a man who's carrying a big basket of mustard seeds. You know, you've seen mustard seeds? All the cooks know how big mustard seeds are? Very small. So if he has a big basket of mustard seeds and one of them drops out, the man doesn't even care. He doesn't worry. One mustard seed has fallen out. Similarly, if the Lord loses one universe that closes up due to no more prisoners, what is the loss for him? That's why we can see Ananta. He has unlimited universes on his hoods. He's maintaining them. And they're not even a weight for him. He's so powerful. Continuing in the purport. He has the bodily features of a snake with thousands of hoods. And since his strength is unlimited, all the universes resting on his hoods feel no heavier than mustard seeds. We can just imagine how insignificant a mustard seed is on the hood of a serpent. In this connection, the reader is referred to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 5, verses 117 through 125. There it is stated that Lord Vishnu's incarnation as the serpentine Ananta Shesha Naga supports all the universes on his hoods. By our calculation, a universe may be very, very heavy, but because the Lord is Ananta, unlimited, he feels the weight to be no heavier than a mustard seed. Text 22 and 23. From the Supreme Personality of God, it appears Lord Brahma, whose body is made from the total material energy, the reservoir of intelligence predominated by the passionate mode of material nature. From Lord Brahma, I myself am born. Who's speaking? Who's speaking? Lord Shiva. I myself am born as representation of false ego known as Rudra. By my own power, I create all the other demigods, the five elements, and the senses. Therefore, I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is greater than any of us, and under whose control are situated all the demigods, material elements, and senses, and even Lord Brahma and I myself, like birds bound by a rope. Now, sometimes people ask, who's supreme? Is Krishna supreme, or is Lord Shiva supreme? Have you heard that question? I heard that question just the other day. Someone was saying. Some people say that Lord Shiva is supreme. But here's Lord Shiva speaking. He's making it very clear. He's not trying to bewilder the reader. He's saying, that I am created by Lord Vishnu and Brahma. We are both created by Lord Vishnu. Continuing in the verse, only by the Lord's grace can we create, maintain, and annihilate the material world. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Being. Purport. A summary of creation is given in this verse. From Sankarshan, Mahavishnu expands. And from Mahavishnu, Garbhodakashayi Vishnu expands. Lord Brahma, who was born of Garbhodakashayi Vishnu, fathers Lord Shiva. How does Lord Brahma father Lord Shiva? Yes. When the Kumaras, the sons of Brahma, would not agree to follow the order of their father to beget children, because Brahma, he is the chief progenitor. His duty is to fill up the universe with living entities. So he asked his first sons, the Kumaras, now I want you to get married, I want you to produce children. And they said, no, father, we're going to remain brahmachari throughout our whole lives. And Brahma didn't appreciate this. He was so angry, because after all, he's the incarnation of the mode of passion. So he became very angry. And he was so angry that he couldn't even check the force of his anger, and out from his forehead came Lord Shiva, his child of mixed blue and red color. That is the appearance of Lord Shiva. Continuing in the purport. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Lord Vishnu are incarnations of the different material qualities. Lord Vishnu is actually above all material qualities, but he accepts control of Sattva Guna, the mode of goodness, to maintain the universe. Lord Brahma is born from the Mahatattva. Brahma creates the entire universe, Lord Vishnu maintains it, and Lord Shiva annihilates it. The Supreme Personality of God, who controls all the most important demigods, especially Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, exactly as the owner of a bird controls it by binding it with a rope. Sometimes vultures are controlled in this way. So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.